taken from Acts chapter 26, 24 through 29. As he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning has doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the word of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophet? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bounds.
Let's see, a couple housekeeping notes. One was July 19th, the potluck thing over at Carteret Park. So be ready for that, July 19th. Michael, what was the other one? Oh, the parking. You remember we announced last week that Percy and Shirley, they no longer own the house, so no parking there. That the guy across the street also came in not too happy about someone apparently parking, blocking his driveway a little bit. So let's not be blocking people's driveways so that our neighbors aren't getting mad at us. So let's be extra cautious of that, I guess. So I think that's it in regards to those type of announcements. My mom came home from the hospital yesterday. Appreciate all the prayers and questions about all of that. It's going to be a long road, being that she's allergic to the medications that she's supposed to be on for over a year. So that's going to be a difficulty, but we'll see how that all goes. So I appreciate your prayers in that way. This morning, we are wrapping up our second quarter of receiving the engrafted word. And I was thinking about this morning. We're halfway through this year. That's crazy. Here we are halfway through the year. It seems like we just started. And we've been talking about this idea of receiving, this idea of taking the word of God and putting it in you, engrafting it in you like a skin graft. And I've been thinking about this a lot, and you probably are familiar with this saying. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. And that's really what we've been talking about all quarter, isn't it? The recommendation has been to receive with meekness, James 1:21, the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. But I have to receive it. And so we've looked in several places about it's the personal responsibility of me. And I want you to go back and look at one of these places. In John chapter 5, we used this question. Remember there was this man, he was lame, and there was the pool of Bethesda, however you want to say that, whichever one it is. And it was that magical pool. That when the angel came down, and the first person in the water, that person was healed. And there was a man there who was lame for 38 years, and he had nobody there to put him in the water. And so he would always try to get there, and he'd never be healed. He'd been doing this time after time after time. And remember Jesus walks up to him, and in verse 6, it says, Now Jesus saw him lying there, and he knew that he already had been in that condition a long time. And he said to him, Do you want to be made well? And that's really the question we have to be asking ourselves. Do you want to be made well? Did that guy want to be made well?
Yeah, he's there. He's waiting at the pool. Notice his response in verse 7. The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me in the pool, and the water is stirred up, but while I'm coming, another steps down in front of me." It's almost like, I can't do it for anything. I can't do this on my own.
And remember what Jesus says to him, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." And the man rose, and he took up his bed, and he walked. I want to look this morning briefly at some people who took the word. They wanted to get it. And you think about, we're going to use the book of Acts to demonstrate that. I want you to go to Acts chapter 2. And I want you to see something that really tells you about if someone wants to be made well or not. You remember there in Acts chapter 2, it's the day of Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit is poured down on the apostles. And they're speaking in all of these various tongues. And the people hear it. And the people are beginning to understand that when Joel talked about the day of the Lord, that was today. And when David talked about how he wouldn't allow the Holy One to see corruption, that wasn't talking about David, that was talking about Christ. And they realized that they had killed the one whom God had sent to save them. And you remember how the people responded in verse 36? When they heard that Jesus was both Lord, He was Master, and He was Christ, He was the King, He was the Anointed. Now verse 37. Now when they heard, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the brethren, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" When you just heard that you've done something bad, don't you usually want to rectify it? Maybe you've hurt someone that you love. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's your child. What can I do to make it better? How can I do this? How can I fix that? Why do you ask that question? You just ask it just because you know they want you to hear it. They want to hear that. You ask it because you genuinely care about how to make the situation better. They were cut to their heart when they heard the word. And what was the response? Verse 38. Repent and be baptized. I wouldn't have liked to have heard the word repent. Because that means I've got to change. And you know what? I got the same thing. I hear that too. I have to change if I'm going to do this. And that's a word I don't like to hear. They wanted to hear it. And we see down in verse 21, all of these people who, verse 21, those who gladly received His word, they were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added. Not a small number received the word. They heard it and they said, "You know what? I'm willing to change. I'm willing to be baptized into Jesus for the forgiveness of my sins." They wanted to be made well. But were there only 3,000 people in the crowd? No, there's probably a lot more in the crowd. Not everyone wants it. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. What do you think about another situation in the book of Acts? Remember, there's this guy in chapter 8, the eunuch, right? The Ethiopian eunuch. And he's been to Jerusalem to worship, and he's going back to Ethiopia, and he is reading from a scroll, from the scroll of Isaiah. And the Spirit told Philip to go and overtake the chariot and to go talk with him. So Philip goes up to him. Remember that he is reading from Isaiah in chapter 53, there in verse 32, here in Acts 8. "As he was led to the lamb to the slaughter, and the lamb before his shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. And in his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." So the eunuch answered Philip, and he said, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? About himself or about some other man?" What does the eunuch do? He's reading. He's trying to get it. So what does he do? He asks questions. What do I do? Who is this talking about? I don't get it. I want to get it. But who is it talking about? You remember what Philip did?
beginning at this scripture, he preached to him Jesus. And they're going along right out there in the desert, and they come to water. And notice now the next question that is recorded in verse 36. So they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See what hinders me from being baptized. Why can't I do this? If you're telling me about this baptism thing, why can't I do it? Here's water." He heard the word, and what did he want? He wanted to do it. He wanted to get it. He didn't want to thrust it aside. He wanted it. You go a little further, and you go to chapter 16 of Acts. Actually, let's go to chapter 10 first. I couldn't remember if I went to 16. Remember chapter 10. You got this guy by the name of Cornelius, who is a centurion. And he has a good bit of power. But remember, he's a religious man, but he's a Gentile. And so what he's been doing is he's been giving alms to the poor. He's been praying to God. You see that in verse 2. And he's a man who feared God. And you remember, an angel came to him and spoke to him and said, "Hey, your prayers have gone up as a memorial to God. God is aware that you are doing all of this stuff. Now send for this guy by the name of Simon." And I want you to see this in verse 6. He says, he's lodging with Simon. So you go and send for Simon, who is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. And notice this. He will tell you what you must do. Well, so what does Cornelius do? He immediately sends his men to Simon, who's at the house of Simon. And remember Simon Peter, he's sitting up on the roof. And he himself gets a vision. And it's almost lunchtime, and he's pretty sleepy, apparently. I like to take a nap in the middle of the day, too. And what's he start? What's this vision about? He sees this great white sheet come down from heaven, and it's full of clean animals and unclean animals. It's clean. It's everything in there. And the Lord says, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter says, "No, Lord, I can't." And this happened three times, didn't it? He kept saying, "I can't, Lord, I can't." As a Jew, he couldn't eat uncommon things. He couldn't eat unclean food. He said, "Lord, I can't do that." And the Lord was trying to show to him, as Peter got, that he could. And not that he could, but that he should. And he wasn't talking about food necessarily. What was he talking about? Go down to when Peter comes to Cornelius here in chapter 10. And he says in verse 28 to Cornelius about why he's in a Gentile's house. It's almost like I have to explain myself. Verse 28. So he says, "You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go with one another of another nation." Meaning, I'm not supposed to be with you, Cornelius. You know that, I know that. But I'm here. And let me tell you why I'm here. God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. God just told me, "You're equal. Doesn't matter what nation you are from, you are equal." That was a message that Peter wasn't expecting that day. And he rejected it first, didn't he? "No, Lord." But then he acted upon it. And here he is risking the reputation with the Jews, risking all of the various things that could happen. Here he is in this situation. So notice how he says in verse 29, "Therefore I came without objection as soon as I was sent for." Once he understood it, he didn't wait any longer. He immediately acted upon it. And here he is standing in the house. And notice what Cornelius says to him. As Cornelius tells him why he called for it, verse 33. "So I sent immediately," and that's Cornelius speaking to Peter, "I sent immediately, and you've done well to come. Now therefore, we are all present before God." For what purpose? "To hear all the things commanded you by God." Does that sound like somebody who wants to know what God has to say? That is somebody that wants to get it. They want to know what God wants them to do. And they act immediately.
And then you got in chapter 16 someone who wasn't looking for the word. Remember in Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas have been thrown into prison in the city of Philippi. They've been casting out this, they cast out this demon on this girl and cost her owners, her slave owners, a lot of money. They throw them in prison and they're beaten. And you remember this is the time when Paul and Silas are singing and praying at midnight, right? And the earthquake strikes. And the doors are loose. And the chains are let go. And the jailer thinks that everyone has left. And so you remember what he was going to do to himself. He drew a sword to kill himself. But who calls out to him? Peter calls out to him. And he says, don't go. Because, don't fear, because we're all here. Verse 28. Now notice verse 29. Then he, that's the jailer, called for a light, ran in, and he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? You got somebody that wants to know. They are scared to death what is going to happen. What must I do to be saved? They've probably been singing about being saved. What must I do? And what does he say to them? Believe on the Lord Jesus and you shall be saved, you and your house. And he gathered all his house together. And they went. That's a people that want the word. And if I'm going to receive the word, that has to be my attitude. What do you say, God? What do you want me to do? And if I have that attitude, it is going to be much simpler for me to grasp the things that I don't want to grasp. To take in those things that I don't want to take in. Because you remember the process that Michael talked about when it talks about putting the word in you? We had this engrafting process where it was really the simple four steps. Where you first got to cut your heart. You have to make that incision to where there is a place for it to go. And you can't cut into a heart of stone. But it has to be a soft, a good, and honest heart. As Lydia had earlier here in chapter 16. You can't cut through. And the stone, the heart is on me. That's on my attitude of what do I want. And it's going to be painful when you get cut up in surgery, isn't it? It doesn't feel good. Remember back to chapter 2 and verse 37? They were pricked to the heart. When you go to the doctor's office and they prick you to get your blood work. Or maybe you've got diabetes, and so you have to constantly check your blood, right? Does that prick feel good at first? No, I don't like that at all. But it goes away, doesn't it? It's a quick, it's short-lived because it heals itself over time. It takes care of the thing. It hurts to cut it in the heart. Now, I've got to open up a place in my heart. I have to make it a home. And then secondly, I have to take the word. And I have to put it in. I have to insert it in. And remember we talked about that. And we just saw that in Acts 2 and verse 41. Those who gladly received His word were baptized. They gladly took it in themselves. They took it by the hand. They wanted it. Cornelius wanted it. And so when he was told to be baptized, he was baptized because he wanted it. And when the jailer was told to be baptized, he was baptized in his house because they wanted it in them. Peter went because he wanted to obey God, even though everyone else might look at him like he's a fool. He wanted it in. And so they take it in. You take it, and once you put it in there, you have to clean it. And you almost have to do that even before you can put it in there, as Michael talked about last week, laying aside. You got to get the bad out. Because if you put good on bad, the bad corrupts the good. And so you've got to get it out. You've got to want to clean it out before you can ever get it in, or otherwise it's not going to take root. But
but it's the Word that's telling us to clean it out. It's telling us what we need to take out. And that's the idea of pruning. Is I might not know everything I need to do right now. But when I find out, oh, I need to get this out of my heart, what do I need to do? I need to pluck it out of my heart. I need to cast it out. I need to keep it clean. Just like you would with your baggage. And that's our fourth step, isn't it? That not only do you have to put it in, you have to keep it clean, but you have to secure it. Remember he talked about the tree and how you go out here and you plant a tree. And you don't just let that tree stand up on its own and sit on its own, but what do? You tie the strings and the ropes to it to give it support. Or your bandage, you get cut up and you need it to cover it and to keep it from bleeding and to tighten it so that the skin covers itself over and it eventually heals. And I've got to protect it when I put it in there because who's trying to get it out of it? Satan's trying to get it out of it. And I've got to protect it. I've got to fight for it. And I need to, as 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, I need to give all diligence, all effort, to make my calling and election sure. When you go to have surgery, they don't send you home and they give you your bandage and you don't touch your bandage the rest of the time, do they? You're taking it out, you've got to clean it. You got to replace the bandage because it's getting gross. You're constantly working on that until it's getting to the point where it is healed. We've got to work on ourselves. It's painful, but it comes out a much better product than when we started. We know sometimes, we said you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Sometimes we feel like this guy. And we get it. And we want everybody else to get it. And we feel like, I wish I could just get you to get it, so drink, or I'm going to shoot you. But it doesn't work that way, does it? The Apostle Paul felt this way. I want you to look in Romans chapter 9, and he wasn't so much angry. I think I would have been pretty angry when people were trying to take my life over something. He doesn't appear angry here. And he's talking about his own fellow countrymen, the Jews. And notice how he feels, chapter 9, verse 1. And by the way, chapter 8 is one of those where he's like, everything is great. There's no condemnation in Christ. And we're more than conquerors in Christ. And then he says in chapter 9, and verse 1, I tell you the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you the truth, and I'm telling you as many ways as I can tell you, I'm not lying. What's he not lying about? I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. Over what? Paul, why do you have nonstop sorrow? For I wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren. My countrymen according to the flesh, who are Israelites. And to them pertain the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service, and the promises. Of whom are the fathers, and of whom according to the flesh, Christ came. Who is over all and eternally blessed. God, amen. What is he so sad about? The people that should have got it refused it. They didn't get it. And he says, I wish I could cut myself off, taking the picture of the tree, that he could cut himself off so that they could be put in. But yet, they have the one. So the book of Acts tells us about plenty of people that didn't want it. I want you to think of it from this idea. We're talking about drinking water. Remember in Acts chapter 3, we're not going to look at all of these. Remember in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John have just healed this lame man who's been sitting there for about 40 years since birth. He's 40 years old. And he's going by, remember it's the guy that wants silver and gold. And Peter says, silver and gold I don't have, but what I have I'll give to you. And he gets up and he walks. And everyone comes and gathers around him. And they're like, what is going on? And Peter stands up before me. He says, it's not by our power or our godliness that this man is made well, but it's by faith in Jesus Christ. And he goes on to preach about what Jesus did or what they did to Jesus. I want you to pick up verse 14. He says, you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murder to be granted to you. Remember they let Barabbas go and they crucified Jesus? And 15, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, whom we are witnessing. You killed him, God raised him up, I saw him. That's what I'm telling you right now. That's the word. And it is in his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, it's faith which comes through him that has given this perfect soundness or this perfect health in the presence of you all. It's through Jesus. So 17. Yet, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did your rulers. You didn't know what you were doing when you killed him. I grant that. So here's what you need to do. But those things God foretold. So verse 19. Repent, therefore. There's our word again. Change and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. It's summertime. I'm about to be at camp all week. It's going to be hot. Not as hot as the previous camps. When you've been out working in your yard, or you've been out doing things outside and it's hot, or maybe you've been on a bus and there's just no air conditioning, it's just awful. What do you want, usually? You want something that is refreshing. You want some water. And what is he saying is refreshing? Having your sins taken away. There's no better feeling than knowing that your sins are removed completely, as far as the east is from the west, the Psalms would say. So everyone's going to jump on that, right? Everyone is going to repent. They're going to change because everyone wants to feel this. No, go to chapter 4 and see who received his words. So verse 3, they laid hands on them, that's the rulers, and they put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. Notice what it doesn't say. All those who heard the word believed. But many people did. The others put them in prison. Not all wanted. I want you to look at one more. I want you to go to chapter 24 of the book of Acts. And there's this guy by the name of Felix. He's a governor. And Paul is having to stand before him and give defense for why he's in prison, which there is no reason. Besides, he was preaching the resurrection in Jesus. And the Jews didn't like that very much. And so they arrested him. They brought him in. So I want you to see verse 22. So when Felix heard these things, having a more accurate knowledge of the way which Paul was a part of, teaching the way of Jesus Christ and the resurrection from the dead, when he got knowledge, he adjourned the proceedings and he said, when Lysias the commander comes down, I will make a decision on your case. He realized this is beyond him. This is something that is not just natural law. This is some spiritual thing. I'll deal with it later. Now notice verse 23. So he commanded the centurion to keep Paul, but he let him have liberty and told him not to forbid any of his friends to provide or visit for him. It's a good guy. Let him come. Let him take care of him. Now here's the part that's interesting. So verse 24. After some days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was a Jewess. Isn't that interesting? His wife has some kind of religious ties or some kind of family ties in one sense back to Paul. Now here's what he says. And he sent for Paul, and he heard him concerning who? Faith in Christ. Now as he reasoned, that's Paul, he reasoned, he was talking with his mind, he said to him,
about righteousness and self-control and judgment to come. Those are things that I don't really like to do very well. Self-control and know that I'm going to have to answer for it later. And that's what Paul was telling Felix about and reasoning with him about logically. And this is what the reaction of Felix. He was afraid. And he answered, "Go away for now. And when I have a convenient time, I will call for you." We know the convenient time never came. He was cut to his heart because he was afraid about what it said. "I don't want to hear it right now. I'll deal with that at another time." There's a difference in hearts right there. They both get it. One receives it and one does not. You could go on, you could see that Festus thought that Paul was out of his mind, as Bill read. "You're out of your mind. What am I going to do? Am I going to be someone who is out of my mind for Christ, knowing that that is the only logical explanation? Or am I going to be the one that fits in with everybody else? What am I going to do? I'm going to receive it." Here's a practical application. Say I want the Word. I want to know what God's got to say. I can't beg you enough to be here for classes. I can't beg you enough to be here on time for classes. When school starts at 8 a.m., it doesn't start at 8:15. It starts at 8 a.m. And so when you don't show up until 8:15, or in our case, 10 and 10:15, that's 15 minutes of material that you've just missed out on. That someone else in the class has got. That someone else in the class might be distracted of when you walk through the door. And it's not because maybe you didn't want it. But you just weren't making as much effort into being here. And being here on time. And not just being here and just sitting here as knots on a log, but participating in it. Reading ahead. Thinking about it. Doing the sheet if the teacher has a sheet for you. I know many of you do this already. But man, what if we all did that? What if everyone that was in the crowd here right now said, "You know what? I really want the Word so bad that whenever there's a class, I'm going to be here." Man, that'd be pretty awesome. As a teacher, I'd be pumped up to teach that class every time. And I'd be happy to know I got 45 minutes with students who got their pens out, their pencils ready. Everybody's ready to learn. Because they're so eager, not what I have to say or what any other teacher has to say, but so eager about what God has to say. Wouldn't that be an application of receiving the Word? We want it that bad. We'll be here. Secondly, spend time in God's Word every day. Remember, Michael preached a sermon about that me time with God, that me session. Spend time with God every day. Got to. And then thirdly, when you read it and it pricks your heart, do it immediately. Procrastination is one of the devil's tools. I'll put it off. I'll deal with that later. You don't do that when you get sick most of the time. You deal with it immediately because you know it could kill you. Sin kills us. And when I know that I ain't doing right, don't put it off. Don't say I'll deal with that later. Follow through immediately. When we do that, we're receiving the grafted Word into us and letting it take root in our life. Maybe you say, "Okay, I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and I'm ready to be baptized into Him for the forgiveness of sins." Or maybe you've done that and you need to repent. There's some sin in your life that you need to correct. You need to get out. Do it this morning. Don't delay anymore. Follow through. If you're subject in any way, won't you come now as we stand and as we sing. Yeah, that's cool.